Let's read together Leviticus chapter 2. In this chapter, we have a description and details concerning the meal offering or the grain offering. Leviticus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take it from his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense. And the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. And if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your grain offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. You shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. And when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten with full heads. And you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. Then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain and part of its oil, with all the frankincense, as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Let's begin our study of Leviticus chapter 2 with some background notes. Leviticus may not be the most exciting book in the Bible because of all the details about the Old Testament sacrifices and Jewish feasts and dietary laws, etc. But the fact that the content of Leviticus is referred to about 40 times in the New Testament indicates that it is an important book of Scripture. Every book of the Bible is important and has an important purpose in the Word of God, and this certainly includes the book of Leviticus. The name Leviticus, which means of the Levites or pertaining to the Levites, comes from the title of this book of Scripture in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. In the Hebrew Bible, the title is just "And He Called," the first word of the Hebrew text. Believe it or not, the Levites are only mentioned by name in one verse of the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 32, which reads, "Nevertheless, the cities of the Levites and the houses in the cities of their possession, the Levites may redeem at any time." It's the only verse in the book of Leviticus where the Levites are actually mentioned. The book of Leviticus is really all about the duties of the priests. In fact, Leviticus was really a manual for the Jewish priests. However, since all priests were Levites, Leviticus is an appropriate name for this book of Scripture. In chapter 1, we had the description and details of the burnt offering, the first of the five main offerings given in the early chapters of Leviticus. Here in chapter 2, we have the description and details of the second main offering given in Leviticus, the meal offering or the grain offering. Now, the first thing to notice about this offering is that it was not a meat offering, as the King James Version translates it. It was not an animal sacrifice. No, it was a grain offering or meal offering. The best way to visualize it is to think of a portion of whole grain cereal. But it could also be baked or boiled or fried and presented as cakes or wafers. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for Leviticus chapter 2. Doctrinal point number one, The grain offering was not a blood sacrifice, but was not offered apart from shed blood. The grain offering was not a blood sacrifice, but was not offered apart from shed blood. The grain offering reminded the people that God provided their food and the necessary bread of life for living. Now the people in turn brought the grain offering in worship and recognition that they owed their lives to the Lord. We see from verse 2 that the grain offering, like the burnt offering, was a sweet savor offering. End of verse 2. And the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. May it be that our worship is as a sweet-smelling or sweet aroma offering to the Lord. We see in verse 3 that, unlike the burnt offering, not all of the grain offering was offered up in smoke and consumed on the altar. Some of the grain was given to the priest for food, certainly teaching the people in a practical way that offering to the Lord supported the work and the workers of the Lord. Of the five main Levitical offerings, the grain offering was the only bloodless offering, but it was normally offered along with a blood sacrifice. See the last section of Exodus chapter 29, for example, and also the first section of Numbers chapter 12. Certainly this detail, that it was normally not offered apart from blood, certainly this detail reminds us of the great truth that no matter how upright our lives are before the Lord, still, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And that brings us to our second doctrinal point about the grain offering. Doctrinal point number 2. The grain offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a life of sinless perfection. The grain offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a life of sinless perfection. The fine flour of the grain offering represents the perfectly even and balanced life of the Lord Jesus. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, concerning our Lord as a young man, that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And the New Testament makes it abundantly clear that the Lord Jesus was sinless. In Acts chapter 3, verse 14, he is referred to as the Holy and Righteous One. Acts chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 states that he knew no sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says that he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, 15. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 states that he was holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners. Hebrews 7, 26. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 says that he committed no sin and no deceit was in his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 states emphatically that in him there is no sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. Now the olive oil associated with this offering, the peace offering, portrays the Holy Spirit in reference to the birth and ministry of the Lord Jesus. At the Annunciation, we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and the angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And at the Lord's baptism, we read in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Luke chapter 3, verse 32. The frankincense associated with the grain offering represents the fragrance of our Lord's life before God the Father. When the grain offering was cooked in any way before it was offered, it was to be cooked without leaven. Since leaven throughout the Bible appears to symbolize evil, the preparation of the grain offering by baking or undergoing fire in some way before going up in smoke on the altar, clearly portrays the sinless sufferings of our Lord endured before his sufferings on the cross. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Think of the temptations of our Lord in the wilderness, for example. Hebrews 2:18. And think of all the ridicule and persecution the Lord endured during his 3 years of public ministry as he walked in obedience to his Father. Hebrews 5:8. Let's read that verse. "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." Hebrews 5:8. The fact that no honey was to be added to the grain offering, verse 11, implied no natural sweetness. The Lord's life of perfection was not because of natural sweetness. Verse 13 says that every grain offering was to be offered with salt, a sign of God's covenant. The grain offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, a life of sinless perfection. And that brings us to our practical application for Leviticus chapter 2. Let your life go up in smoke. Let your life go up in smoke. Now that does not sound very practical, does it? When we say that something went up in smoke, we usually mean that the time invested in it was wasted. The project amounted to nothing. The effort was to no avail. We do our best not to associate with anything that looks like it might possibly go up in smoke. But wait a minute. Doesn't Romans chapter 12, verse 1 exhort believers to present themselves as living sacrifices? Yes, it does. Does that not mean that our lives will go up in smoke? Yes, it does mean that our lives will go up in smoke, as long as we don't crawl off the altar when the fire gets too hot. Up in smoke is the term that is used here in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 2, verse 9, and verse 11, concerning the grain offering that was burned on the altar. The term is also used in reference to the burnt offering in chapter 1, and in reference to the parts of the other offerings that were burned and consumed on the altar. In fact, some translations translate this Hebrew verb as up in smoke. We've seen that the Levitical offerings all picture the sacrifice of Christ in some way which was pleasing to God. And it is pleasing to God when we present our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. The world will see this as a complete waste of your life, up in smoke. But just as a consumed sacrifice on the altar was pleasing to the Lord, so will your consumed life count forever to the praise and glory of God. As the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Let your life go up in smoke.